Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 139. Hey, put those nipples away, Hulk!
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bass Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
Blue Onyx.
And Anvil.
And before we get to the movie of the hour, we have a little issue we need to discuss.
Well, you know, there's a lot of issues that we can sit here and discuss.
But this was an issue that dealt with something that happened while we were watching the movie that we'll be discussing afterwards.
Long lines.
We actually were able to skip those long lines because we were smart people and ordered the tickets online.
Overpriced snacks.
Well, that is one big issue. I mean, that's why a lot of people actually sneak in snacks in order to chow down and whatnot and not have to worry about paying those bad prices.
Overcrowded movie theaters.
It's something you can't avoid on opening weekend for a big movie like this. It's to be...
Yeah, I think this is going to be like this for a while, because that's how good this... I want to go see it again, actually.
Yeah.
Smelly people.
Well, we could deal with smelly people from time to time, but...
No, they smell like dirty balls.
Sleeping motherfuckers.
Yep.
Wait...
Mouth breathers?
I got it. Oh, mouth breathers. Yeah, we dealt with that one.
Fucking assholes.
Wait, I figured it out.
Yeah.
Those goddamn children.
Thank you. You see, parents should not be bringing their 4 or 5 year old child to see a movie that's nearly 2.5 hours long and is not a cartoon.
It was actually PG-13.
That as well. I mean, if you go take a kid to see a movie, take him to see something with bright, shiny colors, like a Pixar film, or...
Ooh, colors.
Yeah, okay, so something along the lines of Toys to Madagascar and a lot of all the other crap.
Shrek. Considering when they were going through some of the, you know, Disney movies you hear, Toy Story 3!
Yeah, and yes. It was like, that was not up on the thing, you little asshole.
It was Brave.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Billy Connolly impersonating his daughter just made me want to see that movie even more.
You have a real hard-on for him. You know that.
So does he.
No, I know.
No, he doesn't.
I think the only movie I liked him in was Boondock Saints.
Very true.
Apparently he's never seen The Man Who Sued God.
Why would I?
Because it's an awesome movie.
Actually, I own it.
That's how awesome it is. He owns it.
Just that these goddamn fucking kids... You just stay out of the goddamn theater. And the worst thing about that is, especially when I've gone to the Revere Cinema recently, they had this whole thing up where it says, we support parents at the movies. It's like, no.
No.
No, I'm sorry. I don't. I think there's this whole thing called, you hire a teenager. Okay, oh, crap. There's not even any of those left anymore.
It's called babysitting.
Yeah, a babysitter, but a teenager that has some kind of responsibility. If there is such a fucking thing anymore. To watch these other little fuckers. So when the parents are there, they could sit there and not tell their kid that, you know, shut the fuck up in the middle of the theater. I mean, for the most part, it just got to the point where I was kind of tired of listening to... It was kind of just rhetoric all around me. It was just fucking kids. Just kill them. Dead.
Kids, they listen to this, rap.
This is why I believe, damage. I believe in population control. These parents should have been wearing condoms because of the fact that they're too fucking stupid to bring their fucking kids to a goddamn theater where they're going to see an awesome fucking movie, but it's ruined because their kids won't shut up because they're wondering about what the hell is the pretty lights on a big white screen doing.
Well, my personal favorite. Daddy, is that man going to turn into the Hulk?
Yeah,
Loki! It wasn't even the Hulk!
Fucking Loki! It's like, how could you ask that question, you little asshole?
And then you're listening behind me, kicking my seat.
Yeah.
I want to go to jumpy thing!
Jumpy thing!
It's like, maybe you should get these kids a trampoline and just cover the whole thing, you know, and just let them jump all they want, because that's basically what they just wanted to do, was go to the jumpy thing.
You see?
And that was the thing, like I said earlier, was it didn't just start with one kid. It went almost the whole friggin' audience.
It was like a domino effect.
It was the one kid in the way back that was like, I want to go to the jumpy thing. And then the next kid was like, oh shit, I want to go to the jumpy thing too. And then the other kid in the front was like, jumpy thing. And I was like, shut the fuck up.
And this is
die, you little asshole. Yes. And then everybody starts laughing. And I'm like, what the fuck? I just missed what the fuck they said on the screen.
Listen, they're, you know, spitting their drinks to each other. I'm getting it all over me. Daddy's going to the bathroom, kneeing me in the back of the head. And, you know, I want to pick him up and throw him.
This is why actual theaters, like, not movie theaters, but theaters that shows plays and musicals, has an age limit. Like, you can't be under 5 and go see a play or a musical. They should do the same thing when it comes to PG-13 R-rated films. Like, I believe that if a film is PG-13, you should not be allowed to bring your 5 or 6-year-old to see this movie.
See, my main concept is like the whole aspect of, like, if we're going to you know, like a carnival or something like that, and you have the kids go on a ride and they have to be this tall.
Yes.
I feel like you have to be this competent in order to fucking go into the movie theaters.
Yeah, but then half the adults wouldn't make it in either.
Exactly. That's what I have to say. It'd be a lot less things. They still have to pay so much money not to go into the theater.
Man.
They should really just create a special fucking theater for the special freaking people that will go and bring their goddamn kids.
Right.
Hey, this is a full-on theater. Everybody's sitting here watching a movie, enjoying it, and they don't want to hear goddamn kids.
You know who I think would be the perfect people to do that? The guys who created Chuck E. Cheese. They should create their own movie theaters for kids, and then us regular guys who don't have kids or don't have to worry about kids until the not-so-distant future can just go see...
Hey, what's that mean? You pointed at me when you said that.
That ring.
Yeah, this guy over here!
Do I have a kid coming that I don't know about yet?
How many times have you used the line, oh yeah, I don't have any kids that I know of?
Yes.
So, wait, how many times have you used the line when, you know, somebody that we know says, I'm pregnant? Anvil did it, right?
Yeah, Anvil did it.
Anvil.
And I'm just standing there like, what the fuck? I never even met that woman before.
It's like, what's your name? Sperm is superpowers. That's how it happened.
It jumped out of your shit and just flew across the room. We didn't see it. It was like protoplasm. Just fucking jumped and it was dark matter.
Wow.
Well, how many times did we tell you to stop spooging? Alright.
Your little soldiers can just get marching and marching and marching on. Alright, we're out of there. Hop, 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 hop. Vagina! Da, 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 da. Attack!
We will have to kill you one of these days to stop these kids from popping up.
We have breached the perimeters!
Wow! Now he's gonna start making cartoons of this.
Fucking Troy, basically. Anyways.
They already did it in Penny and Stocky with Garter Belt.
Oh, God.
You know, he's gonna make it just like, you know, Troy and everything.
But anyways, the whole...
No, theirs was Saving Private Ryan. It was a lot funnier.
Oh, jeez. Anyways, the concept that we're trying to say is
where were we trying to go with this before you...
You know, if you think, you know, it's good that you have kids and whatnot, and you want to go and bring them to this movie, no. Save everybody the problem, especially on opening weekend.
Yep.
get the hell out. It's just like, it just, you know, as much as I wanted to get up and go to, like, the head of the thing and tell them to kick all the kids out because I couldn't watch the movie in peace and quiet, I would have missed good portion of the movie just because of it. I mean, it just got to that point where, like, everything was just that damn good.
Yep.
But to go into the actual movie now, so we can get off this oh for fuck's sake bullshit,
and go into oh fuck yeah,
yeah,
movies, The Avengers. I gotta tell you, there is a lot of writing on this film, and I feel like it paid off.
I'm talking between people's careers and just basic like life in general. Because this is one of those things that if they didn't do this properly, nobody was ever going to trust in Marvel ever again.
Agreed. I mean,
the concept was is back when Marvel was trying to attempt this shit back in the 80s because of the fact, you know, there was like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Batman, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Every fucking other thing under the sun.
We've seen the original Captain America.
When we saw the original Captain America, which was kind of funny, but, you know, also embarrassing at the same time.
Yep.
We also see that there's this other hidden video of the original
Fantastic Four.
And if you ever saw the making of that movie, it was absolutely hilarious because of the fact it looked like they didn't even have foam rubber back then. It was just paper mache for the stretch, you know, that effect on the on the arm. Well, yeah, the foam. Well, I don't even know. It was rubber or something like that. The guy said it sucked to wear.
Yeah,
because it was like you sweat and you just it would.
And the other reason why they made the movie was so the guy could keep the rights to make a future version.
Apparently so, because it's just man. But from what the concept is now that we have so much capabilities with technology to do CGI, and almost everything in this movie for Avengers, it seemed almost real. I mean,
yeah.
From watching how they did the concept of Iron Man, like watching them actually put together the fight scenes for, you know, Iron Man, and some of the stuff that I've watched, I was actually amazed because all it has is, you know, they wanted to attempt to make an actual Iron Man suit, but the thing was too fucking heavy and too clunky for them to actually move around properly. So all they did was they created a kind of like a just another green screen type suit that, you know, that what's his name was able to wear. Robert Downey Jr. was able to wear and just walk around in it like normal, like he was. And then they added all the other effects to the actual metal to make it look like Iron Man. And I mean, it was just. It's just damn impressive how they've gone through the technology.
And just to see them detach the suit, that was impressive. Like, that looked real.
I mean, I know you've probably seen it on the commercial like 500 times now because you can't just stop watching the goddamn trailer because you wanted to see the fucking movie already.
Yep.
But every time when he was doing that, when he lands down and he walks into the building and stuff like that and everything's getting detached off him, or even in the old movies when, you know, he lands down on the front center stage and everything just pops off him, that shit is just damn impressive. I mean, they've done a damn good job with that whole setup. The Hulk looked like it was done pretty well. I mean, I didn't have an issue with this version of the Hulk. I still wish Edward Norton kind of came into the aspect, but I guess it wouldn't have had the humorous aspect that Ruffalo would have put into it.
Yeah, I just can't see Edward Norton bringing that ha-ha funny sort of thing. I mean, I know he can do comedy. I mean, we've seen him in Death the Smoochie.
Well, okay, his concept of comedy is more along the lines of Fight Club and all those other aspects that he's done for movies. Yep. He has more of a serious ha-ha, where Mike Ruffalo, he has a strange ha-ha, but it was able to go along with the whole Avengers setup.
Yep.
What was one of your favorite characters? Anvil?
Thor.
He's my brother. He killed 80 people in 2 days. He's adopted.
you remember, I am Celtic. Which, you know, the Celtic people were, you know, with the Vikings and the Nords and all that stuff. And Thor is the Nordic god of thunder.
Which brings me to say that in the Marvel Universe, those gods would be considered, quote-unquote, the correct religion of sorts. As weird as that sounds.
Even though the concept of Captain America even disputing that. He says, oh no, there's only one God, and I don't think it looks like that. That was one of his lines.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I did like the concept of Captain America, even though I still didn't like the head mask part on him. Still looked a little cheesy on that aspect.
But that's the thing. How would you change it? Because if it was something totally different, it wouldn't be Captain America.
Well, not to change the mask thing, but I mean to actually make it look a little bit better. Like, his just looked like it was just a rubber mask. It didn't have, like, any specific things besides being a mask. And then, plus, in the fight scenes, his shit gets ripped off in the middle of it, so everybody can see his face anyways. It's not like he's trying to hide his identity officially. Everybody knows who he was because originally, when I actually was watching Captain America in the morning before this, and Captain America popped up in the newspaper. It's like, how can you have Captain America in the newspaper and stuff like that? You know, where everybody could publicly record, like, check it out and everything, and you see his face, yet you go and throw a mask on him and be like, yeah, he's Captain America. Okay, what the hell? I mean, it's not like, you know, Iron Man, he's out there now. Like, yes. You know,
everybody knows it's Tony Stark.
Everybody knows it's Tony Stark. As soon as they see Iron Man flipping around, besides all the goddamn kids going, ah! Man, fucking kill them.
Mm-hmm.
The whole concept is that he is a hero out there, and he doesn't care. He's got a big painted red target on his ass, and he can stand out there and do that.
Yeah. Everybody knows where he lives.
Exactly. Right. There's a big freaking building that says Stark. You know, come on.
I gotta say, the dialogue in this movie was fantastic. It's got that whole quotable quality that you would expect from, like, a Kevin Smith movie or Martin McDonagh film. Something along those lines. Like, I don't think there was a single line here that you couldn't requote or anything like that. That you could just say a line from the movie and everybody would know exactly where it was from. But it's just one of those movies that they did everything right. So
it sucked.
Bullshit
indeed.
How do you know? I may not have enjoyed this movie.
I heard you laughing on the other side.
Dude, nobody could hear me laughing over the 900-year-old woman that had the hyena laugh.
I still couldn't figure out who the fuck was laughing anyways.
All you heard was her...
Huh? Yeah, that's the other thing that needs to die is people with hyena laughs.
Yeah, but she was like 9,000 years old.
But let's go into like the actual plot of the movie... Where Loki...
The Avengers saved the world.
There. From Loki.
Would you call me bitch?
From Loki.
See?
Thor's adopted brother. And so there's that weird cube thing that they have to... What was the name of the cube? The Tesseract. Tesseract. The Tesseract cube.
That's what I just said.
Okay. I know.
So they had to prevent Loki from using a cube to open up that universe and unleash those weird little... I don't think they even gave him a name. Those alien beings that came from the...
Probably in the comics, but I haven't been able to really read that aspect of the whole series.
Oh, I found it. The Chitauri.
Chitauri? Is that what the little assholes are?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, they said Chitauris at some point.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what Thor...
I thought they were talking about mushrooms.
Thor was talking about that earlier, remember? He says, he was talking to Mike Ruffalo's character there, the Banner. Mm-hmm. And he was saying about the Chitauri, these big ugly beast or something like that, and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, well, you don't have those here, I'm sorry, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah, I swear they got the name because of mushrooms.
Yeah, probably.
Chitauri, yeah. Shiitake... Big ugly mushrooms, big ugly creatures.
I guess.
Now, the length of this film, I have to say, is pretty fucking good. Because they actually were able to fill it properly. Like, they actually put everything together and whatnot. Like, they gave each character certain aspects to fill their role, you know? Because they have specific attributes. And that attribute goes to certain situations and whatnot. I mean...
And it wasn't like a me show from all the superheroes. It wasn't, oh, it's my turn to shine. No, it's not my turn to shine. Everybody had equal time to shine.
Now...
I didn't.
Okay, I have one question here that I kind of had an issue with because they didn't use it after the fact. Now, there's a little scene where Thor gets into a tussle with Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fighting in the woods and whatnot. And Thor gets you know, he gets the lightning bolt and he zaps Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
If you heard Jarvis says your suit's capacity 400%. And then he uses the chest beam. I was thinking that would have been something good to take on the aliens with. I don't know if it's giant things. Yeah, he could have like taken out one. I mean,
right.
I know it was impressive that the Hulk was able to punch one in the face and take it all out in one.
Well, I think it was impressive how Iron Man took out his.
Yeah,
not to mention how Banner now can control him.
Yeah,
which was weird because the first time you see Hulk, he's like, Hulk smash, can't control shit, and now it's like...
Well, I think it's because he was so wild up that's when he loses control. When he's in control, he can control Hulk.
But that was, like, the other thing that we were learning from, like, the Edward Norton version of Hulk, where he was, you know, he was trying to channel stuff, like, he was learning, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, he was doing all that other stuff down in South America to, you know, learn about actually, you know, controlling his anger. But... with the aspect of this movie and stuff like that, they kind of just, you know, he just really didn't speak about how he was controlling it. He was going to, but then he got interrupted or something along those lines.
He beat up hookers.
There was no hookers in this film.
No. There was an archer.
Yeah, there was the archer. Hawkeye, right?
Yep, played by Jeremy Renner.
I have to... by SWAT and Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
And Ghost Protocol.
Yeah,
to
make famous.
Okay, anyways.
Protocol's way too new to
make
him famous.
True. But I feel like they did such a great job with just about everything. How the plot ran through.
The design of their weapons, everything was very interesting. Even though I felt that... I'm sorry, but Black Widow, she seemed more like a useless character because of the fact that she had pistols. Yes, okay, Anvil, I know, she's hot. Whatever.
Actually, I think Gina Carano would have done better just because of the martial arts background.
But when the part was cast, she was still in MMA stuff. This is Scarlett Johansson.
Yes, I know. She's beautiful.
She was able to do a lot better movements in the other film.
Haywire.
No.
Oh.
God damn it. Iron Man 2.
Yes.
Asshole.
Because I think they wanted to focus mainly on the four main Avengers in this movie, and then when they do the next Avengers movie, they can expand more on Black Widow and Hawkeye.
Next to that, I was also wondering, seeing that Samuel Jackson was Nick Fury and whatnot, with his eye patch, did you notice these lines that were coming out?
Yeah, I noticed that around the
eye. Did you notice that they got a little bit bigger by the end of the movie?
Yeah, I kind of did.
I don't know if they effed up on the makeup and they made it a little bit too long or whatnot, but mm-hmm. I didn't know if there was something along the lines because of the fact that in Iron Man 2, when Iron Man goes a little batshit crazy with that, you know, when he gets the lines coming up his neck and everything like that from what the hell's that chess piece thing again? That generator that keeps the shit out of his heart.
Right.
You know, the shrapnel out of his heart. Sorry, you know, all these people are probably like, it's such and such, you stupid asshole, but listening to this, but... But, yeah, I was thinking that there was something, because of the fact that they knew about how to fix him on that aspect, I didn't know if that was happening to him from whatever happened to his eye.
It could have been.
But all I know is that they did do a great job with Samuel Jackson's character because, you know,
it's Samuel Jackson.
It's Samuel Jackson. You know, he's hardcore. He went at it and everything like that. But the starting of the movie was a bit iffy because I was trying to figure out how they were going with it.
How do you mean?
Well, they're at the S.H.I.E.L.D. Initiative Black, you know, Black Matter, what do you call that fucking place?
Right. The hangar of sorts.
Well, not a hangar. It was just a base of operations, basically.
Okay, let's just call it that.
And... you know, not to ruin it for everybody, like in the start of the movie, Loki is able to pop in because of the fact that the cube starts activating and whatnot. So he pops in, and he goes and touches the scientist and also Hawkeye with his special little spear thing there, and he turns him over to his bad doers, his minions, basically, as I call
it. Right, he touches him in the heart, and then that controls him somehow.
I say the effect with their eyes was pretty damn cool. I have to say that. That was... I want to know how the hell they did that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because if they have contacts, I'll wear those all the time. Make it look like I'm, like, under some kind of spell. But, yeah, with that aspect, the, like, I kind of was trying to figure out where they were going, because to get all these Avengers together was probably the most difficult thing. I mean, I watched this special Avengers thing that was on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the cartoon aspect.
Yeah.
And within the cartoon aspect, they just would nonstop fight. They just kept fighting. Like, between, you know, Hulk and Thor, it was just one fight after another.
Yep.
Especially with Iron Man. Iron Man was being, you know, he was busting balls with Captain America and everybody else in between. Mm-hmm. And, you know, basically, what do you call it? Hawkeye and what's her name? They were, you know, they were actually...
A couple of sorts.
No, they weren't a couple. They were actually, like, Black Widow had, like...
They were partners.
No, Black... Well, yeah, they were partners at one point, and Black Widow turned on the whole initiative, I guess, at some point. But I don't know if that was because she was trying to get close to somebody else or whatever, but...
Right.
It seemed like Black Widow was a loose cannon, and in this movie, she was not as much. She was with the whole initiative, but she used her Black Widow, you know, critique and whatnot, her Russian spy capabilities to get information.
Yep.
But altogether, unbelievable. It was just a great movie that they put together. And like you said, you know, there's hopefully going to be a director's cut.
Yeah, because originally Josh Whedon wanted to make this a nearly 3-hour film. And I'm just curious to see what didn't make the cut of this. And I want to see how it affects the rest of the movie.
I heard there's a bathroom scene.
No, this isn't porn.
No. From, you know, one of the things that, you know, I was reading, I guess, you know, at one point, like, Bruce Banner's, like, in the bathroom washing his hands, and Tony Stark, you know, he's not trying to get him to turn into the Hulk.
Yeah.
Comes in and, like, bumps him into the, you know, wall. And he's like, I'm in full control. And he goes walking out and trips over Thor. Apparently, you know, they decided that, granted, it was hilarious. It didn't tie in with the movie.
Well, we'll have to see then.
Well, I mean...
I don't know.
That'd you had what's his name, poking him in the ribs and whatnot. You had Tony Stark with a shocker and stuff like that. But yes. I still think he was able to still, like, you know, kind of... he should have been able to stay in control, even though the aspect of when he fell into that little pit, basically, with Black Widow.
Uh-huh.
But I guess he just let it go and just went all out. It was pretty funny how it was effing up the whole ship. But yeah, for the most part, it's something you have to really see, and hopefully, if you're lucky, you get to go and sit in an actual theater with no fucking kids.
No kids.
As much as I wanted to get past that, but no, it's a damn good movie, and hopefully, you know, if you can get and watch it in the middle of the week when, you know, everybody's at work or school or something along those lines, then you might be able to actually see the movie and enjoy it. You know, you won't be so pissed off at everybody around you because they won't shut the hell up.
Agreed.
But I bet this movie is definitely going to be breaking some records and whatnot. I think it may possibly be able to squeeze out above, you know, what Batman did a couple years ago, where it was like sold out almost every friggin' weekend.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we know... I know of one place that they already, they broke the record in. They broke a record in Australia. You know how much? You know how much?
What?
A whole $6 million. That's damn impressive because that's Australia.
It's a small country, though.
And they don't go to the movies that often.
Well, that's true, but for the most part, that's actually a record breaker, so.
Considering, you know, one movie theater, the movie theater we went to probably already made more than that in those 2 days.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably. But... altogether, this is the type of movie that you see over and over again. This is a film that you could probably go and see in the theater maybe like 3, 4, or 5 times.
And then when it pops out on DVD, you have to kill somebody for it, and then you go and put it up on the wall.
Yep. And then
you buy a second one, and then you watch that all the time.
Yep.
You keep that other one up on the wall.
Yep. You have it on repeat. Have it playing in the background, and then...
It's like, what do you guys want to do today? I don't know. What do you want to do? Let's watch some adventures. Sweet. You know, because that'll be up there with, you know, the Dark Knight series.
Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about how can, if they ever get around to doing Justice League?
No, they are getting around. They are. They already talked about getting the Justice League started. Don't ask me who the hell the characters are going to be, because I know that Christian Bale doesn't want to touch Batman anymore.
After this,
especially doing, you know, this movie series of the Batman, so I don't know who you could actually come in and play as Batman, who's going to play Superman, who's going to play Wonder Woman, who's going to do this, who doesn't. But, I mean, I've got candidates that could possibly be those people, but it really does depend on the aspects of who's doing what and who's the up-and-comers.
So long as they can just replace a Green Lantern, too. Michael Jai White should be the Green Lantern.
Yeah, they should come in with the black / African American. What?
I typed in Justice League and he said Green Lantern should be Michael Jai White, and that's how it popped up for Justice League.
What?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know.
Well, I know he voiced the Green Lantern in a couple of the cartoons.
Yeah. Actually, I'm hoping that they redo a Spawn movie over or something.
They've been trying that for almost a decade. I'm not sure if that's
ever going to happen. Cartoon aspect.
But yeah, it says right here, Justice League, hoping to be released in 2015. So, 3 years. Hopefully. But, why don't we give a rating for this movie? I'd be surprised if someone goes below the number I'm thinking.
It's over 9,000. Well, ladies first, so you go first.
5.
Thank you. You just made me laugh. Blue?
It's over 9,000.
I give it
five.
2.3.
You're a vagina. I mean, even on IMDb, as of right now, there's 65,000 votes and it's 8.8. And that's as of Saturday, May 4th.
Yeah, it's already. May 5th.
Fine, I give it a 5.
Yay.
But. Yeah, see this movie. If you haven't seen this movie, you're an idiot.
Basically.
Even my small children have seen this movie and annoyed the shit out of
us. See, when you go to the, around the cooler talk and whatnot, yeah, you're going to be the odd man out. Because everybody else is going to be able to see it and say they saw it, and you're going to be a loser. That's
and that really hot girl that you work with, that you've been trying to flirt with, she's already seen it.
She's going to go and kick you in the balls.
She will not think you're cool at all, and you'll never date her because you didn't see this movie.
Agreed. So, there was something about Thor you wanted to mention.
Well, yeah,
You're so... Never mind.
Fuck you! I'm going to kick you in the head! I'm going to beat you with a 2x4!
You still can't kick that eye.
Hmm?
Anyways, go ahead.
What? I'm going to kick you in your forehead now. Okay, so I was reading an article written by the trainer that actually helped Thor get ready for this movie. And, you know, he was talking about the really awesome workout they put him under. You know, something that could help me in Blue. So, you know, I was reading it. He got him actually bigger so he could pump more iron. But then when it came down to losing the weight, He went with a really cool idea for a workout, which me and Blue know a lot about. MMA-inspired workout. He actually went through MMA training to help cut the weight. And he looked pretty chiseled.
Well, I'm not saying that he took his shirt off like in the other one.
Of course. But just from his really arms tell. And everything.
I thought he looked kind of skinnier, actually, in this aspect. I mean, I know that he was next to the Hulk a couple times, but that's besides the point.
Yep. There's that one scene where Hulk punches Thor.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of hard when he's walking next to Hulk and Mark Ruffalo, because Mark Ruffalo is a heavier dude. Put him next to, you know, Scarlett Johansson, he's going to look massive.
No, I mean, for the most part, they just, you know, his exercise probably, yeah, did help him out with doing this movie and whatnot.
So, why don't we move on to sports?
Segway.
The table is yours.
No, it's not. I've lost your parents.
No. In general speak, like saying, yes. The table's yours. Like, to speak, asshole.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought he was trying to give me a table. Because I have no room for it. But,
apartments.
Loser. So tonight, actually, in just a little bit, we're going to be heading down to Plymouth, the Plymouth Memorial Hall, for the Cage Titans event. It's going to be a lot of great fights. I know we're really excited about it. So, we're heading down there. You'll hear more from us during the week, because we're actually going to be posting up some stuff.
Hopefully.
Well, that's why you bring your iPad.
Well, hopefully if there's internet connection while we're...
You don't have to do internet connections. Just type the friggin' thing.
I know that, but what I meant is hopefully we could do it live or whatever. Go on. Go on. Continue.
So, I don't want to do it with you.
So you'll hear more as soon as it becomes available. Also, the MMA Expo that was scheduled for next weekend has been canceled.
Due to our surprise, but apparently it's probably still on. Somebody lied to us. We can't trust him. Trust anybody. Something that starts with old. And what's that other thing that I used to go to? Oh, right, school. Yeah, something that I went to. Yeah, okay, all right. Something you don't trust with that aspect.
So, along with that,
take a big giant shit all
the
over
the Celtics have taken the lead in the series 2-1 as they play the Atlanta Hawks. Red Sox are still losing.
Wait. So there was that winning streak, and then we went and saw them.
No, because they lost the day before.
We went and saw them. Then they lost again.
Yeah, we went to see them, and we got some really good seats, though. But it was a really good game. And then,
just when you thought they were going to come back, they lose.
Last night, they lost a 13-inning heartbreaker.
Yep.
And right now, they're losing really bad.
Yeah, last I saw was 8-0. What is it now?
Yeah, no, it's still 8-0.
Crap on a stick.
So,
see, now that's the problem that we've got right now. It's kind of like a big conundrum because I think this happened, the first year we were dealing with this or the second year?
Second year.
It was like the Bruins, but they dropped off. It got to that point where we're like, what the F? There's the Red Sox, but they're effing up. Then the Celtics, but they're effing up. And that's going to be one hell of a long summer until the Patriots.
Yep.
Which we're still kind of questionable about.
Yep.
No, we'll be
fine. I am questionable.
Stop questioning shit.
I'm questioning it every year. But that's because I live in Boston.
We question everything here in Boston area.
I don't.
You have a bit too much confidence in people.
A bit too much confidence.
No. Okay. Anyways.
Continue.
So I thought you guys were still bantering.
Nope.
Well, only time will tell on how, they're going to wind up doing. Tonight, there's also the UFC fights, which I'm not going to spend too much time on. There's no huge fight here.
It's a Fox fight. What do you expect?
Well, they do give some good ones, though.
Once in a while.
So, it's cool. I'm looking forward to it. But they did announce tentatively for September 1st at UFC 151, John Jones versus Dan Henderson.
Hendo.
It should be a really good fight, but we'll have to wait. And then there's also a boxing match tonight.
Who against who?
Money Mayweather versus Miguel Cotto.
Suck, you super clown.
Mayweather will decimate Cotto.
Yeah, probably.
I'm calling decimation.
If they don't, we have you on thing.
Yep, you have you on tape.
I got a lot of people with me on tape.
You whore.
So, we'll just have to wait and see how things go.
Alright, so what else is going on?
We do have some sad news to put out there.
Okay.
During the week, former San Diego Charger and New England Patriot linebacker Junior Seau was killed from a single gunshot wound to the chest. An autopsy has been conducted, and currently they're studying his brain to see if maybe the degenerative brain disease led to his death.
It could have, just like that other player from last year.
Exactly, from the Browns, and there's been college players. It's really tough. It's always something in the back of our minds. I've been playing, this is my 8th semi-pro season. I've suffered some concussions. I do fighting. And I know my mom's mentioned it before, because there's guys like Jim McMahon who don't even remember part of their career. Jim has been gone, went on record with saying that if it wasn't for video, he'd tell you that you were lying about him winning a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's something that needs to be done. I really wish, we didn't have to lose our, stars, because we grew up watching Junior Seau with the Chargers.
Right.
And then when he came here, we were like 5-year-olds. Like, oh my god, Junior Seau!
But the scary thing, though, about this whole thing is he's the 8th player from the 1994 San Diego Chargers to die.
Who were the other players? You know, old school football is a lot rougher than it is now, and players, and you are, I will put myself into this category, who are, give everything you have, and play the game hard, or as Blue likes to call us, the kamikazes.
You know, I've been kamikaze before. It fucking hurts.
It does, and you know, we suffer head injuries.
It was by my own fucking teammate. We were practicing, and all I remember is I'm going to tackle him, and all of a sudden I was on the ground going, what the fuck just happened?
Yep, here it is. 1994 San Diego Chargers. 8 people have died from that team so far. First one was David Gregg, who died of a fatal car wreck in 1995.
Okay.
A year later, running back Rodney Culver died in a ValuJet airplane crash.
Crash.
A decade passed, Curtis Whitley died of an apparent accidental drug overdose. The same year, Chris Mims succumbed to an enlarged heart. Defensive lineman Sean Lee and linebacker Lou Bush died last year from heart attacks before Sayo took his own life with a gunshot wound to the chest. All the players died before reaching the age of 45.
Yeah. They were talking to Jerry Rice, who was completely devastated over this because they were such great friends, and they actually were talking on the golf course on Monday. And he said that Junior was just so full of life when he saw him that it just shocks him. Unfortunately, another great has passed. This, you know, he's a future Hall of Famer, and I'm sure next year we'll see him in the Hall of Fame.
You think it's just, you think he'll be in there quickly, or do you think?
Yeah, because once they pass, there's no waiting period. The waiting period is there to make sure that you don't come back to the game.
Oh, okay.
They're probably going to do what they did, you know, with Reggie White when he passed. Pop him right in. He's a sure ballot Hall of Famer. And he'll be greatly missed.
Agreed.
So, rest in peace, Junior Seau, number 55. Live on forever.
So, should that move on to the other passing that happened this past week?
Mm-hmm.
A great, great man, a great pioneer of the hip-hop generation, Adam Yauch, better known as MCA of the Beastie Boys, succumbed at the age of 47 after a lengthy battle of cancer. He had a cancerous parotid gland, which went into his lymph nodes. And from what I heard, like, a year ago, I thought he was doing great. So perhaps it came back and just killed him this time.
Yeah, shit like that happens. You know, it's a concept. It does remission, and then sometimes it comes back with a vengeance.
Yep.
You know, it's like, haha, you think you got rid of me? I'm back again.
It's like, you know, cancer's like an ex-wife. You never truly get rid of her.
Right.
Or it's like prison.
But anyway, this is a tremendous loss. Not just for hip-hop, just for music in general, because the Beastie Boys were like the people that made hip hop into an art form of sorts. Yes, they hit the scene.
Okay, fine. The white person that made hip hop into another part of a form of music.
Well, no,
whiteies. No, I'm just kidding.
Shut up.
If it wasn't for Beastie Boys, Public Enemy would not have been discovered. N.W.A. wouldn't have found inspiration to create Straight Outta Compton.
We'll see.
They were responsible for, like, the big boom of hip-hop.
Now, we all, you know, have our favorite songs. I have one that's my personal favorite, and whenever I hear it, oh, man, this brings me back. And here we go. Ready? Y'all
no.
Remember this one?
It's not...
Your fucking phone sucks.
No, I have the volume off.
You jackass. What one is this again?
Yeah.
You want to switch your birthday?
No.
No. Dude. Fight for your right
to party. Busting balls.
Mom, please, but you still
said
no.
Your mom.
Licensed to Ill was the first hip-hop album to hit number one on the Billboard 200. But it was 3 years later when they released Paul's Boutique, where many people consider that to be the time when hip-hop was made into an art form. And my favorite song, probably my favorite Beastie Boys song, was on that one. Looking Down the Barrel of a Gun. The most badass hip-hop song ever to be written, in my honest opinion. You could just walk down like an alleyway in slow motion carrying a bloody baseball bat with this song playing in the background. And no one would fuck with you at all.
I'd probably come to change to this.
It is a great walk on song.
This is my second favorite.
Have you ever heard Anthrax's cover of it? It's actually really good. It's got the Beavis and Butthead intro and everything.
Well, do Beastie Boys ever really have a bad song?
That was the wonderful thing about the Beastie Boys. Their music sounded like something that was just written and released a couple of weeks ago. Like, Sabotage. Yep. Sabotage sounds like something that was just released, but in reality, it's almost 20 years old. Well, I'm not sure if this is going to be the end of the Beastie Boys. They haven't said anything. I don't know if they had planned a backup or whatever, which you can't replace MCA, of course. I don't know if they're going to have to go down a different route if they still continue this.
I know what they can do.
No, they cannot do the goddamn thing where they did with Tupac.
They can hologram him. That's fine. That's basically what they're going to do now. It's just going to turn into... Okay, the concept is if you watch Futurama, they cut all the motherfuckers' heads off and put them into a jar, correct?
Yes.
Correct?
Now it's just
the concept now. It's just going to be putting them on a fucking hologram and putting them all on stage, and people are going to pay for it. That's what it's going to be. It's just going to happen that way.
Right. But...
they're just not going to have to suffer diseases now, because they won't get laid in the background.
I was in the water, actually, this morning while I was waiting for Blue to come grab me. They had, you know, one of Steven Seagal's old movies on. And all of a sudden, you know, he's sitting there waiting, you know, buy some stuff from a kid. He's driving and sees the bad guys all of a sudden hear, "No! Flee! To Brooklyn!" And then the car chase happens. It was amazing.
But the Beastie Boys, you cannot imitate what they've done. They created a sound that just is eternal.
Like, yeah.
That, there's, okay, maybe Beck has done the same thing with alternative rock, but in regards to hip-hop, no one can imitate the Beastie Boys.
Intergalactic.
When it comes to hip-hop, if it wasn't for Beastie Boys, we wouldn't have hip-hop.
I totally agree with that statement. I don't think hip-hop would have... the hip-hop could have been a fad.
Do we hear this? He agrees with me.
No.
Mark this on the calendar.
No. You're stupid.
You're stupid.
But, you know, Adam Yauch wasn't just a great hip-hop artist. He was a fantastic director. He directed a lot of the Beastie Boys videos, documentaries. He started his own film company called Oscilloscope Laboratories, which released such films as We Need to Talk About Kevin, which I heard was a really good film that dealt with, like, the after effects of, like, a Columbine-like situation. They released that brilliant documentary, Exit Through the Gift Shop, about Banksy. They released that James Franco film, Howl, and a couple of other award-winning films. And on top of all this, Adam Yauch always gave back. He was very heavy into helping Tibet gain independence again from China. He was the one who started the Tibetan Freedom Concerts, which were held all over the world. This guy had a big heart. A heart as big as his brain. This world in hip-hop, music in general, film, and what would you call it, philanthropy?
Possibly.
Philanthropy is not going to be the same again. It's just a big, shocking loss. And I'm just glad that he was able to see the Beastie Boys get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before he passed away. Adam Yauch, you will be very, very missed here on this planet.
And because of you, I have had the right to fight to party, man.
My only regret is that they never turned Sabotage into a full-length movie. Can you imagine if they had done that?
What, from the music video?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember when I first saw it, I was like, oh my god, this was like the best movie ever. Wait, it's just a music video? Ah.
No, because you're going to wear the crappy mustaches and shit like that from the 70s.
It would have still been awesome. I don't know, this has just been a really bad year for...
I think the last fucking 5 years has been really bad. No, and you know what, since 2000 came along, it's just been shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine, from the LA riots on. Chernobyl! when we were born!
You know, Chernobyl and when we were born kind of coincide.
Exactly!
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Was
just suck from there then on out. Okay, fine. Hitler. Hitler's birth.
I think it's my fault that Chernobyl happened.
Since the motherfuckers on the Mayflower came over here.
Since the Black Plague.
I blame that shit. That's why their nuke went off. Okay.
Whoa. That sounds racist right there. You just blamed it on
the Italians?
No, you blamed it on the black people.
No, I blamed it on the fucking Black Plague. I blamed it on the rats. No. It was the fleas on the rats that bit the people, which caused the plague, which wiped out 1/3 of Europe.
No, actually, it could have been possibly aliens. There's a theory that these weird fucking things like aliens might have actually fucking helped the Black Plague be what it is, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Anyways.
That's conspiracy theory.
I love conspiracy theories. They're awesome.
They are.
So... why don't we go to our final thing for the show?
Oh, the show's almost over already?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Can you stop doing that with your ear?
So, there were a couple demos. We're only going to talk about one.
No, we're not.
Because one I'm going to write a review about, and no. The other one...
It doesn't... You know what? It doesn't... Actually, trying to speak about it right now is a waste of its own time.
Yes.
So, Dirt Showdown.
Dirt Showdown, the fourth game in the
Puzzle series. Comes out at the end of May.
More Destruction Derby based than the last ones.
So no, because this isn't even part of the... This is just Dirt.
Yes.
Dirt Showdown. This is basically... It's not like Dirt 4. It's not considered Dirt 4. It'd be like kind of like how Valve did Half-Life 2 Episode 1 and 2.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that.
Correct. So in the demo, you're given the San Francisco level, and you're given four cars. The Robson Avenger, the Jupiter Del Rio, the Burton Beachcomber, and the Onyx Runner. You start out with the Robson Avenger, and after you play the level, you unlock the other three, which also unlocks the multiplayer demolition mode. Now, I know you're a huge fan of the Dirt series, so why don't you go first, Blavonic?
That's enough said.
Yeah, that's enough said. That's basically what I have to say. Because of the fact that, alright, I love Dirt. Dirt has been great. And I can't wait until I'm buried 6 feet underground in dirt, you know, because that's going to be fucking awesome.
Wow.
Because I love dirt that much. But Codemasters has done, yet again, another exceptional job with this game. The only problem that I have with it is it doesn't have as much of a, you know, concept to it. It's more or less as Showdown is. It's basically, if you were to see the guys right now, the guys that always do the X Games and stuff like that, you know... Like, the guys who do the motocross stuff.
Oh, like your favorite guy, Sean White.
He doesn't do motocross.
No, but you said X Games first.
All right, fine. X Games, but let's say motocross, more or less, you know, along those lines. Mm-hmm. These are those guys that actually hop around the earth on the Red Bull Tour, basically, and they're doing the tricks and stuff like that. That's what I feel that this is more along those lines of aspects, but yet it's going to be with the rally cars and also derby and all this other fun stuff. But I'm kind of like, the effort that they put into this, they could have put in Grid 2. I feel like they could have put more effort into putting in for the Grid series.
Well, we're just talking demo wise.
I don't give a shit. I want Grid. I want Grid 2. I haven't heard a fucking thing about Grid 2. I'm not happy. Because of the fact that I know that they've been put a lot of money on Dirt. And I love the fact that they put Colin McRae on the first one. And then they kind of backed out with Colin McRae's Dirt. Because of the fact that they didn't think the game was going to do as good as it did.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that Colin McRae's dead.
Yeah.
He died in a helicopter incident. And his kid went with him too. So it kind of sucked. But in that aspect, he was one of the greatest, you know, rally car race drivers and whatnot. And, you know, they made Dirt 2, and I still... The only thing that they dedicate to him in the game, and it's not Colin McRae's Dirt 2 or Dirt 3, it's just Colin McRae's cars that they, you know, that he raced in and stuff like that that you can use.
Right.
But for the most part, you know, I felt like with this aspect of this new game, it doesn't really have anything to do with the series, but as the demo, I need more. I needed more shit to go on. There's not enough in it. Okay, I do love the aspect of an 8-track. You know, the Super 8-tracks where you run around, you know, and there's a cross point.
Yes.
And there's always that collision factor. I've actually watched one of those live, and it was pretty fucking awesome.
Yep.
New Hampshire's pretty cool, I have to say that. But they've done those a couple times up there. It's pretty cool. But for the most part, you know, the aspect of doing, you know, the figure eight racing and stuff like that, that's cool. But yet, I don't know what else they're going to include into the game that from just playing the demo. I mean, I'm not saying I could go online and check all this other stuff and say, oh, this is what they're going to include on it. No. I want to play a demo that they want to get me hooked. Like, I want the fish hooks put into me. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. I want to be able to be like, you know, hey, I'm out here in the ocean, big giant fucking fish. Come on, what are you going to use to lure me the fuck in? That's what I'm looking for. That's what right. I want. And then when they get me on the side of the boat, just stab me into the side of the fish hook and pull me on board. That's what I fucking want. But you're going to give me just a figure eight fuck thing and then play multiplayer with a bunch of assholes online that downloaded it that don't probably give two fucking cares. They just downloaded it just to try it.
Yep.
Just to run around and slam into one another. That was fucking scary. But for the most part, what I'm trying to say is that I need more. I need to be able to go in there and try out something along the lines of whatever else they're going to put in there to make it a little bit awesomer. Just so give me two or three more levels. That would have been fine.
Right. Kind of like what happened with us when we played Bloodforge last week.
Bloodforge was way too fucking short.
Yeah. That's what...
That's... Yet again, how I've said before, put your best foot forward, you know, more or less. I mean, Codemasters has got the cars down, okay?
Yes.
I showed one of my friends that that loves Forza. Like, they basically pray to the church of Forza. And I said, stick Forza right up your fucking ass, because they suck. That series sucks ass.
4 was a lot better, though.
I don't give a shit. Forza, anything with Forza on there, sucks. Because it doesn't have any realism to it. It doesn't have any realism to racing. The cars feel like they're bricks, and you can't fucking drive them. If you're driving in real life, you know how a car handles. And that's not how a car handles, because they don't
this
know
is
the fuck they're doing.
And that's what Dirt does a good job with. They know how to handle it. It's not one of those racing games where you can just push gas the whole way and not have to crash. No, you gotta gas, let go, turn, brake, put gas again.
I mean, you've ever seen the movie, you know, Driven, or if you've ever watched, like, a Burt Reynolds movie, they explain the concept of taking a turn. So if you're playing Forza, you know, and you've got it on a simple setting and stuff like that, and you just keep it on the line, and all you have to do is hold down gas. You just hold down gas, and it will go around, and it will brake it properly and get you around the corner. Fuck that. No, I want to be able to do the aspect of I'm racing towards a corner, fucking doing, like, 100 miles per hour, and then drop it down in gear and stuff like that, and be able to get around the corner my own fucking my own way. It's just it's bullshit because of the fact that Forza has fucked up. Forza has done a shit job, and the only thing I could only give it to, in the only other retrospect, is Need for Speed. Need for Speed Shift was doing okay, but I still call it Need for Speed Shit because it still didn't get the concept of the racing. I feel that Codemasters has a better physics into the actual
they
racing.
They put the mechanics that they used in Hot Pursuit, the newest Hot Pursuit, into the racing games in Need for Speed. It would be a lot better. The Run would have been a much better game as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a professional racer, but if I was, I would probably be leaning more towards the Codemaster series of racing and stuff like that, because it's a little bit more realer. And not because somebody's paying me for a sponsorship or whatnot, it's because they actually put fucking, you know, the concept of in the car.
I would also add not just Codemasters, but the Gran Turismo people as well. Because they do a great job.
I have
job.
Yet to be able to play Gran Turismo since back in, like, PlayStation 1 era, so I don't know what the new shit has been on that.
It adds, there's a whole lot of realism into it, the type that you really like in your racing game.
Because that's what I'm saying. Forza feels like it's a cartoon, like I'm playing in a cartoon thing. So when I show my friend, and this is the thing, I went back to Grid. I went back to the original Grid, and I showed them Grid. And I said, what year did you think this was made in? Oh, this looks like it was made like 2 years ago. No, it was made back in 2006, 2007. That's when the game was made. And the graphics were phenomenal. It was way better in the drifting design when you're doing the drifting aspect mm-hmm. of racing. Just drifting period was fucking amazing because you could literally drift the thing on a dime. It was just like when you wanted to put the drift on the right spot, you just go around the corner the way you wanted to. Or if you fucked up, you'd slam your car and you'd fuck the whole thing up. It's just... They had the realism to the aspect of crumpling your car or disabling. When you slam into a wall and you fuck up your front tire and you're going like, oh, why is my car turning to the left? Oh, yeah, I slammed into a wall. That's why it's fucking up. It's not like it's like every other game. It's like you slam into a wall and you drive away perfectly fine.
I mean, it's one thing if it's an arcade-style racer, if that's what you want. But if you want realism, you got to go with Codemasters.
Yeah, Codemasters has done a fantastic job. Now, I had to say with the crumple effect that they did with the multiplayer, you know... Derby, that was pretty cool.
Yes.
Although it was kind of hard, you know, in the aspect of trying to...
Steer,
because the car was kind of shitty. I mean, well, that's the thing is that I need to play more fucking... I need more to get a better car to be able to drive around faster and slam into shit.
Well, why didn't you try one of the other three cars? Why didn't you try the Robson Avenger? Why didn't you try the Beast?
Why didn't you try to move your fucking hand away from your mouth? I'll kill you.
Why didn't you try the Runner? Why did you just play with the Del Rio?
Because I was thinking of Blues Brothers.
Okay.
I was thinking, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I was wanting all the other cars to flip over in behind me, kind of like the cops, but it didn't happen that way.
I came in fourth. When I first went on, everybody had the Del Rio, and I think they had the same reason for you as you did.
Yeah.
That they wanted to do the Blues Brothers thing.
I had an issue with this game.
Okay.
Because I was in first place when we were doing that, and then all of a sudden the game froze on me.
Well, no, you pressed the X button that told you.
Nothing. I didn't touch a button, I hit a wall, and it goes to that.
We do have to give you one thing. Your hands are very large, so you keep hitting that goddamn middle button on the Xbox controller.
Yeah, that too.
But women like that.
Women?
Besides groping of the boobies and the vagina. But
and anyway, the butt.
Yeah.
And then shoving him in your pocket for some weird apparent reason.
Yeah, that's basically what he just motioned.
No, I was actually talking about grabbing their ass, but okay.
I thought you were talking about getting a pocket pussy.
Well, not to be racist, but there was this other thing that was explained to yesterday. I think it's called the Puerto Rican hug. So apparently when you hug the girl, you grab her by the ass and pick her up. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Kind of like what Pink Taco did to you that one time.
Yeah,
what?
I feel molested.
She grabbed his ass and lifted him off the ground, huh?
Yeah, actually, she's fucking strong.
You know what? She
was like, what the hell?
She can actually suplex me.
Dude, anybody can suplex you.
I know a guy with no arms and legs, and he can suplex you.
Anyway. Sorry, buddy.
I know.
You're fucking skinny.
I know I'm skinny.
No. You don't understand how skinny you are. You walked by this piece of paper and got lost walking by.
I still don't get what you just fucking said.
Me neither.
Okay, it's like the...
Failure.
Shut up. I'm explaining now so you get to shut up. It's like the episode of Family Guy with that model when she turned sideways, you couldn't see her, and then she blew away. I'm saying Evan's that skinny.
So you're saying the window opened and he blew away.
I'm saying he's so skinny that the piece of paper is fatter than he is.
Oh, okay.
That's why he got lost behind the paper.
Sorry.
And now because he explained the joke, it's no longer funny. See? Rule number 42 of life. If you have to explain the joke, it's no longer funny.
Exactly. For the most part, it's one of those things where a poke in the ribs on you, you're fucking done.
Yes.
Exactly. So, with me, Doug could punch me in the face a couple times. I might be done, but I might not be done. And maybe a couple of kicks in the ribs. But I'll still get up and walk around like, oh, that kind of hurt.
And if I punch you in the face, I'm looking at, you know, cruel, unusual punishment. extenuating circumstances to the murder and I'm most likely getting lethal injection.
And you're racist because of the fact that you punched a French person.
Yeah.
Wee, bitch! Wee! Okay.
Great for the demo of Dirt Showdown after all that tangentness. I'll give it a 4. I enjoyed it. I think the driving mechanics here are better than the previous Dirt ones, because I've always had an issue of driving in Dirt 3 or Dirt 2. Because I've always found myself crashing into a wall, no matter how much I've had to...
drink? You gotta drink when you're playing these games. Do you not know this? See, this is the only feasible way of drinking and driving and getting the fuck away with it.
Wait. You gotta buy the wheel first.
Sometimes you need that. I feel like that's what you need in order to play Gran Turismo 5. You need the fucking wheel.
I'm mad if you're gonna be drinking.
Yeah, well, not the goddamn wheel, that piece of shit one that they just came out recently that doesn't have a goddamn thing to it.
Right. Not that one.
Fuck that one. It's just better off using the controller on my aspect when racing. Mm-hmm. But I'll give it a 3.6 because of the fact that the demo didn't give me enough. What did you do?
I'm trying to open it, but it's being noisy and he's giving me dirty looks.
Well then go that way.
Yeah.
3.6.
I'm going to give it a 3 because Anvil Smash.
Yeah, Anvil Smash indeed.
There you go.
You suck at it.
Yeah.
No, I was too busy laughing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No Heimlichs.
Yep. So, let's stick a fork into this episode. Visit our website at b3crew.com for recent news, reviews, podcasts, episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you have any questions, comments, anything you would like us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bossandbastardsbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck, Amazon Amazon63, Bluonic on Bluonic, and I think Teg is on at Teg8663, or 8366.
Well, why are you saying him? He's not here.
True.
Still part of the group. We're on Facebook if you didn't know it. You just go to the page. You like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out all the stuff that we put up on there. Besides the whole Twitter aspect. But
I seriously want to joke with using that. And
vagina. For the most part, if you go and check out the Facebook part, you're able to contact us right there and then. Put up any questions that you have and just... It's just a hell of a lot easier that way.
And we'll get back to you as soon as humanly possible, considering I'm up all night long, Duck's up in the morning, and he's up in the afternoon.
I've got nothing to do with my life anymore.
That's not true.
Yes, I... F you.
Yes, I F you. Greatest comeback ever.
I've got video games to look forward to. That's all my life is good now.
And writing reviews.
And porn. Lots of porn.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And chicken. Chicken for protein so I stay alive.
Porn and chicken.
Exactly.
Yep.
It's the essentials to life now. It is.
Check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood. Also check out Gagrum, TPSMMA.com. Go show them some love. We're going to go see
Cage Titan.
Jeff Watts tonight. Take on Rico DeShulo. Jeff. Go get him, brother.
Wear the wolf mask.
Cryptorious. There's a lot of other people that we could be talking about, but we're just going to leave it at that.
Okay.
Why does it smell like minty death over here? Oh, never mind. Anvil, no, get away from me. I'll stab you with a bottle. I'll stab you with a bottle. I'll Kevin Bacon you with a spoon.
So let's wrap up this episode in order to save Blonick's life. Until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Ah!
And Anvil.
Reminding you, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard.
But it sure helps. We are the bastards.
Let's suit up.
What?
Huh?
Strap on, Dilly Dog.